I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome, Jeremy Piven. Thank you so much for coming in. I see you brought your lunch with you.
I did, yes.
Yeah. That sandwich looks suspect, though. I don't know.
It is a little suspect, and I just want to thank you so much for bringing it up because, you know, that's what you do to a guy who has not slept and just got off a plane. You just start in on him. But I will say, if you're going to do... No, it's all good.
You're on the road, man. You eat when you can.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I couldn't get a bite out of it, but you took a shot. I love it. But you know why I'm here, don't you?
Because you're at the Wilbur?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
There we go.
You're at the Wilbur.
You directed me to speak directly into the mic beforehand. How am I doing so far?
Does it sound good?
I think we're all peaking. This is fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you've been doing the stand-up for... It's about 2 years now. You've been heavily... I mean, this is what you're focused on right now, right?
Yeah, you know, there's no way you can put a number on how long I've been doing stand-up because I'm 70 movies into it and been on stage since I was 8 years old. Background in sketch comedy. 400 straight stand-up shows now. And, you know, how long? I mean, time is a man-made construct. We're getting very deep here this morning.
Yeah, this is really...
Listen, if I can't make people laugh at the Wilbur Theater Saturday night at 9:30 for 1 hour straight from beginning to end, if I can't do that, then that's on me. So I take my job very seriously, and I love it.
Well, you can get your tickets at thewilbur.com to see Jeremy. Me and my friend Josh Dolan here, who is actually an aspiring stand-up comic, we're wondering how many, you know, there's our comedians who have become very successful actors. The obvious ones were, you know, Robin Williams, Steve Martin, Tom Hanks. But have there ever been, we were trying to think, we couldn't think of any actors who have become successful comedians. And, you know, you're pretty much the only one we could think of. You mentioned Will Smith, who did something with Chappelle. But that wasn't like a tour or anything like that. Yeah. Donald Glover, maybe. Well, maybe.
Donald Glover's been doing stand-up for a while, and he's just multi-talented. Here's the reality. The reason why you don't have a lot of examples of prolific actors who are trained actors who have been doing it for a while, who then switch into stand-up is, I can tell you firsthand, you have to throw yourself into it completely, and you have to get up every night, and you have to bomb, and you have to grind, and you have to put your ego aside and just get better. And that's all I've been doing, and there's no way around it. You know, I got up at, you know, three different long spots last night in New York, and, you know, you pop in and there's just a few people at the Rusty Chuckle Bucket on a Tuesday night, you know, and you're eating it and you just got to play through. And there are a couple of millennials that are there to see the DJ and they look at you and they're like, who's the old guy? And you have to make them laugh. So it's awesome. I love it. And it's uncharted territory, but, you know, I love that because, you know, as an actor, you know, I was never any one particular type. You can't tell how old I am, any of that stuff. Like, I'm just, whatever I do is original. It's not derivative of other people. And it's the same thing with my stand-up. So I'm honored that, you know, I get time and I'm able to draw, you know, packed houses. You know, maybe if the kids say that they listen to the station, we'll give them a free meet and greet Saturday night. Why not?
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know in real time whether or not you're doing your job or not. And it is, you know, because I think people see my name and they go, is this a screening? Is it a Q&A? Is it a fireside chat? What's it going to be? And it's stand-up. It's absolute stand-up. It's observational humor and stories and impressions. And it's a chance for us to be in the same room together and for people to get a sense of who I am, because, you know, everyone's misunderstood. And you can't rail against the universe. And I played fictional characters and been confused for them. You know, people, you know, approach me on the street as if I'm Ari Gold.
Wasn't there an actual executive, like a movie studio executive, who thought you were an agent?
Yes, he wanted me to represent, you know, some of the people that he knows, and he was very confused. The reality is there's a compliment in there. It's not about looking at them going, what's wrong with you? Are you right. broken? Can you not do the math on this? It's about, I guess, that I was lucky enough to play a character so authentically that they got confused, and there's a compliment in there.
And do you take that when people come up to you and all they want to talk about is Entourage and Ari Gold? Is, you know, do you ever get sick of, you know, talking about that show? I mean, that's such a hugely successful show.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you can't get tired about talking about things that you love to do and that have connected with people. But if someone thinks that I am that character and they want to bring out their inner douchebag and show me, you know, the worst side of themselves and smack the hell out of me while I'm at the urinal, you know, and say, bro, and then my wife is on FaceTime. Tell her she's a rusty sea bucket, baby. Yell at my wife. I'm like, no, I can't. Can't yell at your wife right now, sir. We're in the bathroom. It's nobody wins. It gets confusing, but it's all part of it.
On your stand-up, your journey in stand-up here.
Yeah.
And have you come across any other comedians who have maybe been hostile because you've achieved great success already, and now maybe they see you as someone who they don't know you've kind of done stand up in the past, that you grew up in the theater. Do they see this as, oh, this guy's just trying to move in on my gig?
You know, if there are those feelings, I certainly haven't seen it. And I think one of the variables as to why I haven't seen it is because the comics see how much I respect it and that I put the work in and I'd never phoned it in and I'm taking notes and getting better and I ask a lot of questions and they see the respect and, you know, how can they not, you know, honor that? So that's what I've seen, you know, behind my back or whatever they're saying out there. I have no idea. But listen, if I wasn't doing my thing out there and I wasn't working hard, you would have heard about it. You know, and that's what a lot of comics are saying. They're like, man, it's quiet out there for you. You must be doing your thing. I'm like, why? They're like, believe me, you know, the knives are out. If you were tanking, we would all know about it.
The vultures would be circling. And
well, I mean, look, and dessert, they should feel that way because they've all, you know, these comics. I mean, the journey is insane. Just open mics and grinding for any stage time, driving around, and, you know, it's just such a hard life. And because I have this built-in audience, you know, because of decades of my journey is different, and yet it might be similar in the way that I got up on stage at 8 years old. I've never left the stage. So,
and just to let people know, your parents were both actors. Your dad was an actor and a director, and your mom was a teacher.
Absolutely, and I talk about that, and I actually play out a scene with my mother where, because everything I've said is Ari Gold, I've said to my mother's face because she's my acting teacher. So
you ran the Ari lines by your mom.
Yeah. Oh, so man. Imagine that. So that's insanity. And so I can't do the bit now just because I think it'd be more fun to actually do it on stage when there's a group of people. But I do talk about that and how insane it is. And my mom's a total pro. And no matter what came out of my mouth as Ari Gold, she would keep a straight face and not get offended no matter what. I mean, think about what I said. And she would just, you know, be professional and let me know if I missed a thought or a word or things to think about for the character. And I think that's fun for people. And it's also, listen, selfishly, it gives people a sense of who I am. That, you know, I'm a guy from the Midwest, grew up in Chicago with an incredible family, and that's part of who I am, you know, and I think people forget that, and we're living in a time right now where it's very easy to judge and compartmentalize and just, you know, say, oh, yeah, this guy is, yeah, I know, that's actually him, and it's very easy to do that because if you go the other way, then you have to be available to the fact that, yeah, I did come from a theater family and I have been on the stage my entire life and I come by it honestly. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for people to recognize other people's hard work, which is silly to me because another person's success will never take away from your own. There's enough for all of us. And I think once people own that, it'll set them free. This is the worst TED Talk in the history of TED Talks.
Let's be honest. I'm inspired.
No, it's true. It's true, man. I mean,
yeah, it's the work you put in. If you're willing to bust your balls, you know, like anybody else would to become successful, it's a good lesson.
It's like our guy Julian Edelman. You know, here's a guy who's an undersized guy for any position who was playing quarterback at 5'9", and Belichick, you know, saw his, you know, he's perfect for the system. He knew that he would buy into it and work hard, and he's tough as nails, and he's got a, you know, brilliant work ethic, and, you know, and look at him now. You know, and I think he should be an inspiration to all of us. You look at that guy on paper, and, you know, right. He's not in the NFL, yeah. And he's the MVP of the Super Bowl. So let that be a lesson to you, kids.
Well, kind of the opposite of my last question.
Yeah.
Who do you look to? You said you do a lot of listening. So who do you look to for advice if there's other comedians you look to? I know you're friends with Brian Callen, who we've had up here. A couple of times, and he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Brian's amazing. I've known him forever, and he's Brian's one of those guys who's it's very deceiving because, you know, he loves to be lowbrow with his comedy at times, but he's incredibly well read. He'd be the first one to tell you that, and and he gets, you know, he's an inspiration to me because he's really funny and very physical on stage and reminds me of an actor doing stand-up, not in a bad way, just in a very present way where he's performing, and that let me know that I might have a shot at this. But guys like Chappelle, you know, he's one of those guys who he's never too busy. So if you have a question for him or whatever, he'll sit with you and talk, and he just says to me, you know, say it all and let him know how you feel. And there's a guy who speaks the truth as he knows it, and he's inspiring to me because he really operates at a time when everyone is so worried about being PC. Here's a guy who's a truth seeker, you know, and that's the space that he inhabits, and it's really inspiring to me. And he's just insanely funny.
Yeah,
so it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, this is a tough time for comedy. Mel Brooks said we have become stupidly politically correct, and that this is the death of comedy.
Well, you know, I think no matter what, comedy can't die because, you know, I remember playing a helicopter pilot in Black Hawk Down, and you research these guys, and the way they deal with the high stakes of their job is through humor. Any human being, you take away humor, and you know that takes away our release and our ability to be human. And so we can't let it be the death of anything. We got to fight for it, tooth and nail, and that's our job.
And through your extensive experience as an actor, has there been anything you learned as an actor that you found to be a useful tool while doing stand-up?
Oh, my God. I mean,
because some people think it's the same thing. Well, they're just getting on stage and they're acting, but it's not. I mean, it's so very different.
Well, think about it. As an actor, you're speaking someone else's words, you know, so it's a scripted piece. And you have many different actors, and you're bouncing off of all of them, and you're doing the best you can. In stand-up, you're writing everything yourself. You're playing every role. You're the director, the editor. You're a one-man army, man. And there's a lot of, you know, it's be careful what you wish for, because I've always been looking for this type of freedom, and it's daunting. And overwhelming and really inspiring all at the same time. So for me, people have been coming up to me and saying a lot, I didn't know you were this funny, which to me is an amazing backhanded compliment because I've been acting for 200 years and I thought, okay, well, I thought maybe you would have cracked a smile or a courtesy giggle.
At least during PCU
maybe,
or, you know, Gross,
you know,
Point
old
Blank.
School, one a minute, of those, you know, Entourage, nothing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but the fact that they say that, because I had a club owner say to me before he saw my act, he said, are you okay disappointing the audience? And I was like, no, that's the last thing I want to do. I don't want to waste people's time. He said, yeah, but they have a reference for you as an actor, and then they're gonna see you do stand-up. And I said, give me a shot, man. And
I'm sorry, do you run across that a lot? Like comedy?
Oh, for sure. Of
people
course.
People booking comedy saying, well, you're an actor. I don't want you to get up there and suck. Or do you, yeah, have to, no, you still have to work to get your spot? Or
yeah. Every once in a while, it'll be a test run to see how I do. And I love that. You know, because I grew up auditioning; it's in my blood. But yeah, I've gotten notes from comics who have then revealed at the end of the note session that they didn't actually see the set, which I think is hysterical. You know what I mean? One guy said to me, he goes, "I think you gotta overthink it, man. You gotta really dig in there." And I said, "Okay." He goes, "But to be honest, I didn't see the set. This was in a text, right?" So I waited a really long time, and I texted him back, said, "I'm sorry, man. I was overthinking my text to you. Sorry I didn't get back to you earlier." But, you know, because the thing is, I'll take any note that you have if you've seen my set. And by the way, I love notes. There's nothing better than someone, you know, who's done it before, seeing your set and going, "Hey, man, you know, this is hacky. This is too many words. Trim the fat. This works great. Why don't you do more of this?" Whatever. You know, I love those notes because that's how you get better and grow. I think a lot of people these days, they're very sensitive and they don't want to hear it. But the only way to get better in any arena is to put your ego aside and go, there's something to learn here.
Right.
No matter who it is. It may be someone who's really qualified and maybe it's someone who's not, but they might have something to contribute. And that's really one of the major variables to getting better. I truly believe that.
And bombing is part of that too.
Oh my
God! I mean, that's probably the most painful, but yet maybe the most valuable learning experience. I mean, has there been an occasion where you're just like, I gotta jump off this stage and get out of here right now? Or
yeah, I mean, any time where you pop in, you know, on an off night and they're not ready for you. And they, you know, they don't know who you are or whatever. It's just real. And, you know, an audience could become one and they could be very kind of, when it's very small, you know, a little kind of insecure in terms of like being vocal. And so you just have to be okay with the silence. And that was very hard for me. I remember one of the first times I got up was at a little dive bar, the heaviest lifting in the game. Even Chappelle said to me, he goes, "Oh man, that room is tough." Because I said the dime, you know, on Fairfax in L.A. He goes, "Man, that's rough, man." That was a little Chris Tucker, by the way. It was off the hook. That's Chris Tucker.
Yeah, there's a little Tucker.
There's a little
there.
Tucker in there.
Yeah.
But I got up there and I said, "Hey, you guys are probably wondering what I'm doing here." And some dude in the back goes, "Yeah, man, what are you doing here?"
Oof.
And I was like, "Oh my God, this is hostile." Like, it wasn't just like, "Okay, what do you got?" It was like, "Dude, you're not supposed to be here."
Right. We're not even going to give you a chance.
Not going to give you a chance, and you're taking my spot.
Oh.
So, you know, it's your job to go, "Okay, here we go. Let me dig in and see if I can get this crowd." And the comedy gods will reward you. I mean, I remember being up there going, every fiber of my being is going, "Get off stage." And it wasn't even a stage. It was like a little wooden plank with a pin spot in your eyes where you can't see anything. So you can't see anything, and you can't move. So, you know, it's like, you know, you're getting a couple of your senses taken away from you from the jump, right?
And how many people do you think are there?
It ranges from a handful of people. Just a handful.
So that's
and
tougher when it's like just like 12 people, do you think?
It not only is it tougher with that, but also there's a few comics in the back with their arms folded, you know. And if you do crack something funny, they'll may nod their head and go, "Yeah, that's good." But you're not getting – so – I didn't really even get the game at first in that way. So every fiber of your being is going, "Get off stage. You're not funny. You've never been funny, ever. This, you know, retire. You know, go to Ojai and sell yogurt and just call it a wrap, you know?" And then the comedy gods reward you with your next set. If you can stay in the pocket and just do what you can up there and move through it, you will get better. And then your next set, you'll be rewarded. And that's exactly what happened.
That's awesome. Jeremy Piven, thank you very much for joining us. Do you have any movie, TV stuff lined up at all yet? Or,
I do. I'm going to be filming something with a brilliant, brilliant director. And you know, it's like I'm literally in the process of signing it, so I don't want to jinx it, but it's being signed right now. But you know, it's, you know, you mentioned Ari Gold earlier, and this is one of those characters that is just so specific, you know, and great, and it's your job to inhabit these roles. And you know, it's a character that's from Chicago. I grew up in Chicago, and he's a gangster and ruthless. And I've never gotten a chance, believe it or not, to play someone like that. And so I'm so excited.
True life character, or
it is. It is actually, okay. But it's so dangerous that you can't even really name them. That's why it's really crazy.
Okay.
And you know of these guys growing up there, and it's going to be really fun to do the research and get into it. And then until then, I'll literally be doing stand up probably until the moment I walk onto set.
Wow. Well, yeah. Thank you for coming
thank
in here.
Thank you
for
having
Wilbur, me. Saturday night.
Yeah.
Jeremy Piven, go see him.
I think. What is it, Wilbur.com?
TheWilbur.com. You can link up, get your tickets right through there.
See how we transitioned organically?
That was fantastic.
How come you're doing comedy and they didn't let you say a word?
I didn't want to interrupt.
There you
sorry,
go.
I didn't mean to hog it, Josh.
No, it's fine.
Not one word. Don't you love when people are like, bro, you're a comic? Tell me a joke,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, be funny.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
Yeah, be funny.
You just had a cookout, and you're like, yeah, so I bought a computer the other day. You know what? This isn't going to work out.
Exactly.
Well, our staff barbecue is happening in the back parking lot today. Maybe
really?
You could do a set, like 5 minutes.
You know what? You laugh. But and you know this is a comic, you'll do a set anywhere.
Right.
I'll get up there and do it. I will literally do a set in the parking lot.
Have you done anything like that? Like I hear comics doing sets in laundromats, or like they put up the microphone in the corner of the clam shack, you know, at some beach and say, go be funny. Have you done anything like that yet?
There isn't a microphone that I wouldn't get on, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's and you're always kind of trying material on people and whatnot. It's you're in that constant state of doing it. Then you start thinking like a comic. So, but believe me, Saturday Night at the Wilbur, it'll be funnier than me. Because I feel like I'm at a dinner party right now explaining a joke, but
oh,
I'll actually
sorry.
Be telling jokes Saturday night. That's my fault.
All right. No,
thank you guys
right.
so much.
You've been great, man.
No, you've been great. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.